Well, hey there, come on in. We're just about to start. Welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a fun weekly podcast about nutrition and healthy lifestyle. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative and entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
Join us each week as we strive to help you with transforming your overall health and relationship with food through up-to-date, evidence-based nutrition information. Are you struggling to stay regular? Do you have a sluggish constitution? Today, we discuss constipation, a dark and embarrassing topic. And we cover all things related to bowels and constipation with dietary and lifestyle strategies to help. If you want to stay regular, stay with us.
Welcome to My Wife, the Dietitian. Hello, Sandra.
Hey, Rob.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
What are we talking about today?
Oh, well, it's a bit of a slow topic.
Okay.
Constipation.
Oh, that's like a non-event.
Yeah, right.
Ugh. Sometimes.
It is a very common issue. The most common chronic bowel condition that we see in our society.
Yeah. Fortunately, I don't have that issue typically, which is nice, but I did have surgery recently and I was taking medication and yeah, suffered from that for a little while and it's nasty. I didn't realize it was so uncomfortable, but it's not fun.
Yeah, I know. It's something that I have to discuss with clients and patients and residents in long-term care quite often, most days through my work with people. And because about research says 2 to 40% of the population are dealing with constipation and 14% are chronically constipated.
Wow. Yeah, that's not fun.
And it's not something that people easily talk about.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's just, I don't know. It's one of those things that, yeah, it's not dinner conversation for most people, right?
Yeah, but as a dietitian, I pry it out of people.
I know you do. And they're just like, oh, really? I got to answer that.
I always talk about, you know, how are your bowels? Because that's just part of the assessment. Mm-hmm. And it gives me a better picture of what's going on with their whole body and their health.
Of course. And I'm sure there's some people who give you more detail than you really want.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk today about what it is. How common is it? Why so many people struggle to poop? And how people should seek support? The common underlying reasons of chronic constipation or even intermittent constipation. And then, of course, strategies to help with diet and lifestyle.
Yeah, that's where people will fast forward to that part.
Yeah.
What can I do? Hurry.
Yeah. Well, but stay tuned to all of the information because it's really interesting just how many people just go to the pharmacy and grab some laxatives or fiber supplements because, you know, I think a lot of people know we don't like the standard American diet. Most people are deficient in fiber.
Right. Is that what SAD means? Is that what you mean? SAD?
It could be. That's
standard American diet.
Yep. Or modern American diet, MAD.
Or SAD and MAD.
So if you want to feel sad or be mad, then you just eat like the, you know, regular North American diet, which is 73% of our food is ultra processed.
Wow.
And typically that means there's not enough fiber in that food.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's just a little bit of the background. But what is it?
What is what?
What is the definition of constipation?
It's a good question.
It's about having less than 3 bowel movements a week.
A week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, which is quite common. There's people that only have a bowel movement once a week. So
yeah, I guess everybody's got a different kind of pattern to their bowels, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's also, there's some other definitions too that they're kind of changing, but if you have 2 of the symptoms, then like if you have 2 symptoms for the past 3 to 6 months, then you likely have a diagnosis of constipation. So straining for at least a quarter of your bowel movements.
Okay.
Having hard and lumpy bowel movements more than a quarter of the time. Feeling incomplete evacuation.
That's a great term.
25% of the time or a quarter of the time.
Got an incomplete evacuation down here. Need some help.
That's right. Feeling like your gut is blocked.
Oh, that like kind of that. Yeah. You feel like you got just like this brick in your, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is kind of gross. Requiring manual disimpaction. So, you know. Helping yourself to go 25% of the time.
Can you explain that a bit more? A bit more detail? I think you could probably explain it better than me. I probably could. I don't think anyone wants to hear that though. Use your imagination.
And then the last one is having a bowel movement less than 3 times a week. But if that's normal for you and that's how it's always been, it might not necessarily be an issue, especially if when you do go, it's easy to pass, soft stool and not... You're not straining. The big thing, the problem with constipation, well, there's lots and we'll talk about that, but a big part is if you're straining, that is really, well, that leads right into getting diverticulosis. Remember we had a whole episode 80 was all about diverticulosis versus diverticulitis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most common cause of diverticulosis is chronic constipation, straining, having to like push because of that pressure is really not good for the bowel.
Oh, for sure. Or for your stitches.
No, that's right.
My case.
Well, and people that have had a C-section, like pregnancy is a time when women who aren't typically having problems with bowels, they might start to encounter constipation through pregnancy and after the baby comes just because hormonally things change and there's a lot of lifestyle changes and it is just a common condition for women that are pregnant, but it's also, there's lots of other people in our society. I mean, from birth to elderly, people can become constipated for various reasons.
Exactly.
Do you know some of the reasons? Some of the underlying reasons?
You can ask me if I know some people. Do you know some people that have constipation? like we said, we don't really talk about that kind of thing. It's not like the coffee time discussion.
I know. And that's a good point because I think if you've tuned into this and you know somebody in your family or yourself that, you know, have intermittent constipation or have problems with bowel movements for whatever reason, it's something to take more seriously. Because I think it's so common that people are like, whatever, I'll just go get some fiber supplements like Metamucil or whatever, or psyllium, or I'll just start taking a stool softener because that will help. Yeah, those do help, but it's good to identify the underlying reason.
True. Yeah, I never thought it was a big deal either. I just thought it's just today's not a good day. It'll get better or I'll take some, you know, over-the-counter thing and help things out.
Right. Yeah. And a good poop would be like an S-shaped kind of, sorry, I don't want to get too graphic here.
We should have had a warning.
We should have a warning.
You're going to get graphic.
Yeah. So not straining and having a good, you know, healthy, bulky, soft stool. So they have the Bristol stool chart. And this is something we use in clinical practice with people. And I work with people undergoing cancer treatment, plus I work in long-term care and with clients just trying to get healthier with their lifestyle and diet. And especially with the clinical population, we do look at the Bristol stool chart. So it's like a scale and it shows like different, it's got the diagrams of different poops. So
whose job is that? It's like one day your boss comes up to you and it's like, okay, today we got this special project for you. We need you to draw this chart with all these like different shapes of poo on it.
I know. It is such it's a funny topic. It's not funny, but you know, it's something we all do. And for years I helped educate men undergoing prostate cancer treatment and fiber was a big part of the issue while they were undergoing treatment because it's pelvic radiation and their area gets inflamed. And so we have to adjust fiber. And so we started doing research with men who were interested in helping out the cause of figuring out if fiber does affect bowel movements. And so it was kind of it is a topic that's difficult, but you know, once you get talking about it, it's like, then people, you know, you get a lot of information, almost too much, but yeah. It's helpful. I mean, because it really directly relates to, are you absorbing enough nutrition, or, you know, how long is that, how long is the stool sitting in there? Because we know that the longer these toxins, almost like this stool has a lot of,
it's all the garbage you're trying to get rid of, right? So it's just like in your garage, the longer you leave your garbage in the garbage can, the smellier and more rotten it gets. So I'm sure it's the same in our body, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's a really exactly good.
Like if you miss garbage day, it's like, oh man, this is going to sit around for another week now and it's going to be just nasty.
That's right. Yeah. And we know that if it sits around, the longer it sits in the colon, the more likely the cells are in contact with that garbage, and it has more likelihood of over time developing colon cancer. So that's a big one, right?
Oh, true.
So it only makes sense that anything that decreases the contact time of food chemicals with colon cells or helps with bile acids. And that's the other thing we did talk about, the importance of having a healthy gallbladder and how fiber affects the health of your bile, and you want good, healthy bile quality. So this all helps with reducing the risk of colon cancer, which is one of the number one causes of cancer in our North American population.
Right.
So the GI tract might be called a foodway, somewhat resembling a city freeway in place of cars. The foodway transports what you swallow in one direction from the main entrance, the mouth, toward the and the anus. Along the way, there are exits and entrances. The nutrients from a meal can exit the food way and travel to cells throughout the body and brain. Additionally, digestive enzymes, hormones, bile acids, and other chemicals produced by body cells can enter the food way. So over the years, good and bad elements interface with the colon cells. And how many decades does it take to chip away key genes in one colon cells? Each eating episode becomes part of the lifelong struggle against mutation fought by each and every cell lining the colon and rectum. Of course, diet is especially important for those with hereditary predisposition to colon cancer.
Well, there you go.
So why do you think so many people struggle to poop and have constipation?
Well, I mean, I know for myself, it's completely diet related. Like, I mean, it's, well, not completely diet related, but it's definitely related to what you're eating or not eating. That's one reason, a big reason, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, 70% of our North American diet is ultra processed.
And I guess medication too. We'll get into that. I'm sure that's a big one as well. Like I noticed, like I said, with my surgery, the medication was just like, whoa, instant blockage.
Right.
So obviously there's other medications, I'm sure, that have that same effect.
Yeah, like anything with codeine or narcotics, it actually reduces, it almost numbs the peristalsis in the bowel. Mm. So then you're not, it's not pushing it through. So that definitely can affect bowel movements. So medication or supplements can, like iron supplements, sometimes calcium supplements for people, can affect bowels.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And other medications, and also just sedentaryism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you're not moving, like maybe explain how, because you explained this to me and I didn't quite understand that, how the whole system moves and the peristalsis and everything. Like, because like when you are constipated, you can like kind of press on your belly and kind of twist and turn and sort of mimic what your muscles down there are supposed to do in order for you to be able to go, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think if young parents that have kids that are like toilet training and learning how to go on their own, and sometimes that can be an issue for the family with the kid, you know, deciding not to go when the parent wants them to go, or, you know, that issue. And just massaging the belly can help with just moving, helping the peristalsis along, but just anything that moves your body. So walking and hiking and yoga and different, you know, exercise is really important. And a lot of us do not get enough exercise. We know that our lifestyle is quite sedentary, sitting in cars, sitting in office, you know, at the desk, and different reasons that we're not moving enough. Mm-hmm. So that can really contribute to our bowel habits and constipation. Another big one, and I think you know this, is inadequate fluid.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you said, oh yeah, it feels like a brick, well, you think of how do you make cement? And this is always a example I talk about with people is like, you think you get the cement, the powder in a wheelbarrow, and you're adding water like from the hose to it.
Yeah.
And as you're stirring it, and if there's not enough water, it turns to cement. Well, that's the same. That's the same thing that's kind of the mechanism that's happening with the stool and the bowel and with fiber, especially soluble fiber. So that's the fiber that when you put water with it, like in oatmeal, for instance, it gels, it bulks, it expands, and it actually makes a bulkier stool, but it slows the transit of the stool.
Right.
But that type of fiber is really good for helping with your blood sugar control. It helps with reducing the cholesterol in your blood. And it also helps to reduce some of the having too much estrogen. For women, it can help reduce the risk of breast cancer. So fiber is a really key part too. So fiber and fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And the insoluble fiber is a fiber that's the, it's the indigestible part of the plant. That's all fiber.
That's like the roughage, is that?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
The insoluble is like, say if you peeled an apple and you put that peel in a cup of water,
yeah,
what would happen to it?
Nothing.
Yeah, it just sits there.
Yeah.
It's insoluble. It's not taking up the water. But if you put oats in water, what happens?
Right, they expand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the soluble.
Okay.
So most whole plant foods, like minimally processed foods, have both, have the combination of soluble and insoluble. So if you think of a strawberry, for instance, it has that pectin, which is soluble.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also has the seeds. And so seeds are insoluble.
Yeah, they always end up at the bottom of your smoothie. No matter, you can leave your blender on for an hour and it would still be, those seeds would still be there.
Well, yeah. And that's what, you know, when birds eat different berries and it goes right through them.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with humans.
Yeah.
So when we eat seeds and skins, it's really good for roughage and the bulk to help with our stool and the reducing the transit time. So basically, we talked about the highway, and we don't want it to go through too fast, because then you might be malabsorbing. It might be like diarrhea type bowel movements, but we don't want our stool to be sitting there too long, because that increases the contact in the cells. Mm-hmm. And it's really, like you said, it's garbage. We don't want our cells to be
absorbing the toxins that are sitting in there for, if they're sitting there for too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because a lot of the heavy meat type diets, like people that eat a lot of meats, like the paleo or the keto, that is one of the big issues I see is constipation, because it's just hard to get enough fiber in a heavy meat diet.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then you also have more exposure to those saturated fatty acids that are in the meat. So those solid fats, and then that's not great either for your risk of colon cancer and other cancers too. So, and heart disease, you know, not to mention heart disease and diabetes risk. So a lot of the diets that are like low carb or no carb and high protein, there are some faults with that. And that's the biggest one I see. Typically in my practice is the lack of fiber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds pretty common.
Yeah, yeah. So some of the other reasons that people might get kind of intermittent constipation might be, they might be traveling, it might be a change in their routine. That's a big thing. So, you know, if you're going at different times during the day or you get off your normal routine, that could totally affect your bowel movements. And even like a lot of people don't like to be out or be in another place and have to have a bowel movement in an unfamiliar bathroom.
Totally.
And then that can, if you hold it in too long, then that can you know, it's a vicious cycle.
There's some funny movie scenes for with that theme. I'm just thinking of a few. Yeah, it's totally like the girls at the guy's apartment and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So with elderly people, also a lot of times it's lack of adequate exercise or moving. And a lot of times medication. That's a huge reason that people get constipated. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with our episode about diverticulosis in episode 80, we talked all about as the colon ages and how it just becomes less elastic. It doesn't have the same...
flexibility?
Yeah. It's just, you know, and that's going to affect when you strain and push and the pressure, then you can have these little out pouches, which are the diverticula. So that is a really common issue. As people age, and if you are having, if you aren't getting enough fiber in the diet or fluids, that all can be a part of that.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Now, the other thing, and I just need to make a point of this, there is something called overflow diarrhea. So yes, someone might be constipated, but they are presenting with loose, frequent, watery stool or just loose stool because there's a impaction, like that brick we talked about, and the stool is going over that. So it's called overflow diarrhea.
So it's like a blockage up inside, but there's still enough room for like loose, watery stool to get through.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd feel kind of nasty, but you don't think you're constipated because you're still able to go. But
well, and that's the thing too, right?
And so you probably think, oh, I need to eat. I've got like diarrhea. I need to eat foods that are gonna like be more solid.
Well, and a lot of times you don't feel like eating, and that's what I see with in a clinical setting where people have low appetite or they have bowel changes, and that could be part of it. So that's why I mean it's really important to seek support, and it's really important to talk to your healthcare professional about what's going on because it might be something a little bit more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this three-day rule with your bowels. So the large intestine has three sections, the ascending, the transverse, and descending colon. And so when you have a bowel movement, you usually empty the last section only. So by the next day, that fills up again. So then you're having a bowel movement and you're just clearing it out one section.
Right.
So if you take a strong laxative, as anyone who has had a colonoscopy and had that bowel prep, which people always say, oh my God, it's the worst thing ever. It's worse than the colonoscopy because you got to clean out the bowel. And they give you the medication for that, the laxatives. So it may cause your entire large intestine, all three sections, to be emptied. And then it can take up to 3 days before this large intestine is full again. So if you get impatient after the second day and you're like, oh, I don't have a bowel movement. Oh, I'm really frustrated. This is worrisome. And then you end up taking a laxative, a tablet, a powder, a liquid. Then it's a vicious cycle. Then you're emptying your bowel again.
True.
Give it time and to work and refill again. You know, it's it takes time just for things to get back to usual.
Right. Yeah. You want that kind of regular cycle, ideally, right? It's kind of nice when it can be predictable and you sort of know and.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So if you are pretty sure that this is an issue for you, and maybe you're used to taking like a fiber supplement to just help with the bowel movements, we have some strategies to help.
You have some strategies. This is all brand new to me. So
this isn't brand new.
Maybe I can add to it too. I know it works for me. So we'll see if that's on the list.
You're funny. Okay. So fluid, making sure that you're getting enough fluid, that is really a common cause of constipation for many different people in the population. So a lot of people aren't drinking enough fluid. So water is always the best fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And start from wherever you're at. So if you're not a water drinker, start drinking water. Start adding like a cup a day and try to get up to the 8 to 10 cups a day.
Mm-hmm.
Over the 24-hour period. And definitely exercise. And definitely we need fiber. So if you are not used to having a lot of fiber, say you are like the average North American, 16 grams of fiber a day, And really, we want, if you're a woman, to get 25 grams a day, or if you're a man, 30 to 35 grams a day.
Okay.
So to do that, it would be like start slow and add one higher fiber food a day. So you want to do this gradually. If you went from having, you know, a low fiber diet, say 10 grams a day, all of a sudden to 30 grams a day, what do you think is going to happen?
You're going to have a brick in your stomach, maybe. Well, I don't know. You're going to be pooping a lot. Something bad's going to happen.
Probably, yeah, bloating, gas. You're going to have tons of gas, tons of discomfort, maybe pain with that discomfort. And yeah, your bowel movements will probably change, and then you'll get frustrated and you'll be like, ah, screw it. I'm not having the fiber anymore. I'm just going to go back to, you know, my regular diet, which is the standard American diet.
The burger and fries.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the thing, like you think of that type of food, say if you go and have a burger and fries, like you said, where's the fiber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There isn't any. And that maybe like that little limp piece of lettuce that's on your burger. Not really though.
Most places don't have a whole wheat bun.
No.
And there's only fiber in plant foods. You're not getting fiber from animal products. There's no fiber in meat, chicken, fish, eggs, dairy. No fiber in those things. Fiber only comes from plant foods.
Mm-hmm. So what about hot beverages? Because that's kind of my trick every morning is my cup of coffee. It's this like, I can't even finish it before I'm literally running.
Thanks. Okay. We don't need to know that.
Well, I'm just saying is it because it's hot or is it because it's the caffeine or the, like something about the coffee? Because I don't get quite the same if it's tea.
Right. Yeah. No, it's both. It's the hot beverage and it's the caffeine. So the caffeine's a stimulant. It can be a bowel stimulant. And also warm beverages, hot beverages can help increase the peristalsis and stimulate that bowel.
Oh, there you go.
So a lot of people do that in the morning, and that's a great, if that works for you, keep doing it.
Well, it totally does. And if I miss my cup of coffee, then yeah, I miss my little run to the bathroom too.
Okay.
Okay.
So we did talk about episode 17, fiber. What's the scoop poop? And that was really good on ways to increase your fiber. So what are some standard foods that have lots of fiber?
Well, all your fruits and vegetables.
Okay, but specific. Let's get specific.
What, like, you mean like leafy greens and peppers and apples and corn? And is that what you mean?
Yeah, for sure. Prunes is a big one. So prunes and dates and figs.
Or you're looking for ones that kind of promote that more than others?
Yeah, they actually have like the fiber plus they have this laxative effect.
Right, right.
So those are great to include if you can. Kiwis are really super high in fiber because they have all those seeds. Mm-hmm. And even if you eat the skin, then you're getting a little bit more fiber. A lot of people don't eat the skin and that's fine, but it's still high in fiber. The meat of the kiwi. Avocado is really good. It's really great to have phytofats. So plant foods with these fats. We've talked about these a lot of times in some of the other episodes. I think episode 10, we talked about superfoods, which are like more like not the marketed superfoods, like, you know, cure-alls for everything. It's more about like grandma's garden and where you get the superfoods in that.
Yeah, like real food.
Real food, yeah. And so, as you said, vegetables and fruits, a lot of the ones with seeds and skins are going to have more fiber and really good, be good for your bowel health. And seeds. So chia pudding is a great way to kind of, if you're used to Metamucil, then that would be an alternative that you can try. So you just take 2 tablespoons of the chia seeds, put it into a mason jar, and then add water just to cover the seeds, and then shake it up, put it in the fridge, and in the morning, it'll be chia pudding. I'm saying in quotes because it's basically chia in water, and then you can add that to your oatmeal or your cereal.
It solidifies a bit though, right? It like gets like a gelatin-y kind.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a soluble fiber.
That's why you call it pudding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's soluble. So it has the same action as like the Metamucil, for instance.
Right.
Or Benefiber, you know, that like psyllium kind of fiber that people buy in bulk to you know, basically supplement their fiber. But you can use food, like food first, and you're getting some benefits from that food. Not just the fiber, but those omega-3, like there's really good fats in the chia seeds and hemp hearts and ground flax seeds. You get so many other B vitamins and vitamin C and some of those fruits that have lots of fiber and the vegetables. What are some vegetables that are high in fiber? You mentioned the green leafy vegetables. So that gives your body some roughage.
Aren't all vegetables high in fiber?
Yeah, most of them are pretty good. Yeah. They do have varying amounts, but I think the key with vegetables and fruits is variety. So if you're using, you know, some sometimes and then others other times, it's good to change it up and not always have the same thing over and over again. Berries are really high in fiber. Do you know why?
What bears eat.
Yeah.
Because I mean, yeah, if you've ever gone for a walk in the woods where there's bears around, you can see that they have a pretty regular bowel system. And you can see
the bear scat?
Yeah. You can see what they eat. And there's lots of berries and plant foods and, you know, it works.
Yeah, yeah. The berries, like you remember we talked about berries in the mine diet. Mm-hmm. It's part of the Mediterranean diet.
Well, yeah, they eat fish too, right? Bears eat fish.
Yeah, exactly. There's no fiber in fish, just so that we're not confusing anyone.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the Mediterranean diet because that has fish in it.
So. Yeah, and beans. So legumes and lentils and chickpeas, they all have really good fiber and gives you some good plant-based proteins. And it's mostly soluble fiber. So if you're not used to eating beans and legumes and you get gas, well, we talked all about easy bean ideas in Nutrition Nuggets 51, but it is one of those things that the more your body gets used to it, the more you can tolerate the different beans. And I think we love to highlight the message to try to eat beans 4 times a week if you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And remember the water thing too, when you're including more fiber in your diet, the importance, like Sandra was mentioning before, of needing to complement that with more water.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And many of these foods that we're talking about, like especially, well, because they're plant foods, they also give you prebiotics, which is the food for the probiotics in the gut. So that's all related, how we've talked about the gut-brain connection and food and mood. And so having these foods that have fiber will help your whole system. And we did an episode with Kelly Springer, episode 84, on carbs and how it helps with blood sugar control. And also, that's where you're finding those prebiotics is through a lot of carbohydrate-rich foods. So if you're not eating carbs for whatever reason, it's probably a good idea to start to include more carbs in your diet, because this will help with your bowel health, with your gut biome, and improve your overall health.
Perfect.
So 5 ways to boost fiber in your diet this week. We're going to do some strategies to help.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Oh, and when you're looking at the label, the nutrition facts, look for 2 grams of fiber per serving for a higher fiber food, if it's a food in a package.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of the minimum you want is at least 2 grams of fiber. Ideally.
Yeah. And that's mostly like when we're talking about, you know, cereals or grains, breads, wraps, bagels.
Crackers.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of snack crackers are 1 gram of fiber or 0 grams of fiber. A lot of them are white flour based and they don't have a ton of fiber. So 2 grams of fiber per serving is a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So 5 ways to boost fiber. So one thing that you do every day, the first thing, and I do too.
Oh, our oatmeal in the morning all sorts of nuts and seeds and raisins and fruit and all things in it that
exactly.
are fibrous.
Yep. So that's the first thing. Add seeds to your cereals. So that could be like the chia seeds, the chia pudding. If you make the chia pudding and then put that in the cereal, you could do ground flax seed, a tablespoon. You could do a tablespoon of hemp hearts, which are hemp seeds, and also using pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds and sesame seeds.
Yeah.
So those would be maybe add to either your cereal, or if you don't like the flavor in your oatmeal, like sesame, for instance, you could put that on a salad, like sprinkle on a salad or on a stir fry, a cooked meal already made.
Yeah. Exactly.
So add seeds. Number two is add nuts.
Okay. Yeah.
To your snacks. So like trail mix is a good way to, if you do have snacks between your breakfast and lunch or between lunch and dinner, those are a good way to get some phytofats, some plant fats. So get those, improve the balance of your fatty acids, like having more of the good fats and less of the not so great fats.
That's our car snack. We usually take a little container and we'll put, you know, nuts and raisins and maybe some chocolate chips to make it fun. And
yeah, cashews. Yeah, I love cashews.
Just a mix. Yeah.
Peanuts. Yeah. Walnuts, almonds.
That's easy. And you can eat it while you're driving.
Yeah. Pumpkin seeds. Sesame.
Yeah. All those things. It's just jam it all in a jar and you're good to go.
So good. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then you could also add nuts, like a condiment to salad. So you think of like a spinach salad with a little bit of slivered almonds.
Yeah, I always do that.
Yeah.
Because I like the crunch.
Yeah. And also like the Buddha bowl, poke bowl. We did a whole episode on Buddha bowl and grain bowls and poke bowls. And there's a great blog article on that too. And that's part of it, is adding nuts and seeds to your lunch and dinner, your different grain bowls.
Absolutely.
And one we mentioned just a little while ago was a bean dish. So try to include one bean dish this week.
Yeah. And it can be like, I've been making a lot of hummus lately, and that's beans.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's fun. It's a dip, but it's made with beans. So,
chickpeas.
You know, it's not like just having a big plate full of black beans or something, which might not be as appealing, but you can use it to make other things and spreads and dips and that sort of thing. So check out what you're able to do with beans. There's all sorts of things.
And it helps with a food processor, right? That's how, or blender.
Oh, yeah.
When you're making hummus. Really,
I love the food processor. It's a lot easier to get your hand in there, but a blender would probably do the same thing, I would think.
Oh, maybe. I've made hummus with a blender.
Yeah.
No, it's great. And you can also alternate, if you don't have chickpeas, you could use white kidney beans.
Yeah, that's what I did the other day, because we didn't have chickpeas, and it was good. It was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
And we didn't have tahini. What did you use?
Well, I used peanut butter.
Yeah.
And then I used a bit of sesame oil to give it that sort of sesame taste. And it was really tasty. I actually liked it better than the hummus.
The normal one.
Yeah. This was, I guess, a white bean dip, it would be called, maybe, but.
Did it have cumin?
No, I meant to put some in, because that's kind of one of the real noticeable flavors, I think, in hummus.
It's like a smoky kind of, I like that.
Yeah,
cumin.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, so that's the third thing. So add seeds, add nuts, have a bean dish this week. Add a salad to your lunch or dinner. So we have a lot of times for lunch, a salad bar kind of lunch, like just a whole bunch of different items, including the green leafy vegetables. So adding a salad will help with increasing your fiber.
Because of the green leafies primarily? Because if that's the case, you can do like I do sometimes and just have a handful of spinach or arugula or any whatever leafy greens in your fridge.
Yeah, put it in your smoothie. A lot of people do that. Green smoothie.
Eat it, you know? I don't mind the flavor of it, so I'm happy just to have a handful and just eat it as I'm passing the fridge. And you don't have to make a full salad. You're just still getting your leafy greens.
And that's a new thing for you.
It is.
Because you didn't used to, you know, just eat leafy greens like,
no, I didn't,
plain like that. You would need lots of, you know, different ranch dressing or blue cheese or something to smother that taste. But it's actually, once you start eating these whole minimally processed foods, you actually get a taste for them and you don't need as much dressing, or you don't need to always have it with sauces and things.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And then the fifth one would be, look at what grain products you're eating and make sure you're getting 2 grams of fiber per serving. So if that's your whole sprouted grain bread, or maybe it's a rye crisp or a cracker that's got lots of seeds and grains in it, that will help increase the fiber, because a lot of us have refined white, low fiber grain products, like, you know, white bread, bagels, buns, wraps, a lot of what's available, the most common, the cheaper varieties are typically made with all-purpose white flour. So you're not getting the bran of that wheat. And it would be great to get more bran or more whole wheat. So, and be cautious of the marketing with whole grain snack, or whole grain this and whole grain that. It's like a rhyme. Check out what the ingredients is and make sure that like the first ingredient isn't all-purpose white flour.
Or enriched white flour. That's another way they say it. Right?
Yeah, it should be a whole. And 2 grams of fiber per serving for the label, so that you know that you're getting more fiber.
Get used to reading the label, because there's all sorts of information there. And like Sandra said, they'll kind of trick you with how it's worded in the name of the product. So you really have to read the label and look at the nutrition facts to see what's really going on. So just get used to how to do that. We did do an episode on how to read the label. That was way back, like episode 8 or 9 or something like that. So there's some information there on what to look for. It's good to know how to do that.
That's right. We also did an episode on grocery tours and reading labels. So that's a great one to check out. And grocery tour episode 8. So shopping on a budget and looking at food labels. Actually, food labels was episode 9. Food labels 101 we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's been a few because it is important to know how to do that. It's a really important part of shopping, really.
Yeah. And breakfast is an easy time to get some fiber in the day. So if you are typically just eating 2 eggs, which I hear a lot, I just eat 2 eggs every morning. Eggs are great, but pair them with something. Have something that's got some fiber in it. So because eggs are from an animal, there's no fiber in eggs whatsoever. There's other good things in eggs. We definitely get some good B vitamins and protein. So it helps you keep feeling full. But have some whole grain toast with that, or have oatmeal and then eggs also, like on the side. Or even get some yogurt and some bran buds or some sort of bran flakes or Fiber One, that type of food. And also those seeds we talked about. Those are all good ways to have a good hearty breakfast that gives you a lot of fiber and gives you some bulk to help keep you feeling full through the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Good tips.
And it'll help prevent constipation.
Well, that's the whole key, right? Can we quickly touch on what foods maybe to avoid? I remember growing up hearing, you know, like every time I had cheese, which I love cheese, it'd be like, oh, you're going to be constipated if you eat too much cheese. So I don't know if that's a myth or some truth, but I'm sure there are some foods in general that are going to be more
constipating. That's a good thing, because we do, you know, when people are having like diarrhea, we often suggest having bananas, and having cheese might help. You know, it's individual.
Sure.
So it's based on the person, and look at the whole diet. So if you're eating lots of other fiber-rich foods and you have cheese in your diet, that's great. That's a good source of protein and calcium. So by all means, have a little bit of cheese. It's not going to make a healthy diet bad.
Okay, that's good to know.
And it actually can give you some, you know, good pleasure with the taste, and it's an alternative, you know, a great snack.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Add to your meal. So it's not, if you're having constipation and have an issue with that, and you eat a lot of cheese in your day, like if you're having pizza and grilled cheese sandwiches, and if you notice that you're having lots of cheese, yes, maybe shift to less cheese and having more fiber and fluids that will help with that issue.
All right, there you go.
But for some people also, dairy can be, like dairy in general, they might not be able to tolerate, and it could cause constipation for some people. It could cause diarrhea and bloating and gas for other people if they're lactose intolerant. So dairy is kind of like another thing that's very individual. It's not across the board. And something I see often are people on gluten-free diets. Sometimes people with celiac disease, they need to have gluten-free. And so we're always actively looking for ways to include fiber without using wheat products, obviously. But typically I do see people on a strict gluten-free diet tend to get more constipated. Like rice products, a lot of times do not have a lot of fiber. And that's a common alternative to wheat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, find pastas that are made with beans, like the, remember the smart pasta that...
they're made with chickpeas or lentils or black beans. We've had those a lot. They're actually really good. They're loaded with protein too and fiber and
edamame free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Remember the one? Yeah. There's like edamame, chickpea, black beans. Those are awesome. So definitely look for those ideas. And yeah, there's lots of strategies to help if you are feeling like you're having issues with your bowels and more sluggish and constipated. You could probably do some tweaks in your diet to improve how often you go and the consistency of your stool.
Perfect. There we go. All right. Well, I'm glad we touched on that because I'm sure, like we said, it's an awkward conversation. It's not something people enjoy talking about, but something we all do, and it's good to know how to do it more efficiently, I guess is the way to say it. Regularly and
you're really straining with those words.
I sure am. I know.
I'm just joking. Awesome. All right, let's wrap this up. We've been sitting here too long.
I know, right? Man.
And don't read on the toilet. That's one thing that can really promote issues with bowels and hemorrhoids and stuff, is if you're sitting on the toilet just doing something else while you're waiting for your bowel movement. That's really not a great practice. I hate to mention it, but I just have to because I've heard that a lot and it's not great.
Reader's Digest is going to go out of business now.
Or the toilet. What are those bathroom reader books?
Yeah,
books?
All those. There's all sorts of, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing, I think, but it's really...
Right on. All right. Well, if you want more information on all sorts of things related to health and nutrition, check out our website. That's mywifethedietitian.com. We've started our weekly newsletter too. So if you're interested in receiving that, there's lots of tips in there, weekly updates on what we're doing, a bit of information on what's coming up, that sort of thing. It just keeps you in the loop and it's kind of one-stop shopping. You just get it delivered to your email once a week and it's got all sorts of links in there too. So if you'd like to be part of that, you can join the newsletter on the website. There's bottom of every page, I believe there's a button there you can push to join the subscriber list. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We love hearing your comments there. Wherever you listen to our podcast, we love hearing your comments, getting your ratings and reviews. It's all super helpful to us. And we like to know that we're on the right page and that we're giving you the information that you want. So don't be shy. Let us know what you think. You can email us too. That's another way to communicate with us. It's mywifetherd@gmail.com. Or like I said, in the comments on any of the podcast players you use or on social media, just reach out, say hi, let us know what you think. And super helpful for us.
And we're really happy that you're spending your valuable time with us. We appreciate you. And we know that our listeners are repeat listeners because we kind of have those analytics to look at, and it's great. So please share with one friend or a colleague or a coworker or a family member this week. And that helps to get the information out there for others to enjoy and gain valuable insight too.
You got it. Right on. Well, we will be back on Wednesday with Nutrition Nuggets. And until then, have a great week, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.